Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
We are standing at the edge of something this country has never seen before. The Epstein files aren't just going to be debated anymore. They're going to be released. Entire vaults of documents. Names, maybe. We're still wondering about that part. Communications, patterns, timelines, the scaffolding of a predatory system that operated in plain sight across decades, countries, and institutions. And whether people realize it or not, this is going to have a massive psychological impact on millions of Americans. Survivors, families, whistleblowers, communities, people who trusted systems that protected Epstein, and people who trusted public figures whose names may now surface. This isn't just a legal moment, it's an emotional one, a destabilizing one, a vindicating one, and in some ways, a traumatic one. Because when you open a vault like this, you don't just expose wrongdoing. You expose the mechanisms that allowed it. You expose enablers. You expose the fragility of trust. You expose how predators manipulate power structures, institutions, and social vulnerabilities. So today we're going deeper than headlines. We're going into the psychology, into the individual psychology, the institutional psychology, the national psychology of what happens when an entire country is forced to confront one of the darkest open secrets of our time. Joining us, psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott, who spent many, many years studying human trauma, predators like this, institutional betrayal, and the psychological fallout of large-scale abuse networks. We're going to be digging into all of this topic as deep and dark as it is today. Siobhan, welcome. Let's start here. Why do moments like this create the feelings that they do in our society? Well, right now you have in some people adulation, you have relief, and some you have panic. It's a very weird feeling out there right now with folks all over the board, if you will.
Yeah, I think people are confused. Number one, it affects our core beliefs about who is our country and who runs our country, and the core beliefs about justice and, you know, are people safe? It's destabilizing, just, you know, overall. People are shocked, or a lot of people are in denial saying it can't be true. But I think right now we really need to know what happened and deal with the difficult emotions that come with that, and then take action to get back on course.
What do you think we're in for here? We've been seeing bits and pieces dropped over, you know, over time in the last, you know, week or two. We've seen some pretty big chunks drop, but that's nothing compared to what, you know, they're saying are terabytes of information that will be released. That's a lot of information to get through in general, and then everybody's going to start digging, and I think we'll start seeing new headlines for quite some time as people dig deep into this. But what do you think we're about to see? Is this going to be like a national trauma of some sort? Do you think we're in for some massive names and people that were once beloved? Maybe that's going to change. What's your impression?
It's kind of ambiguous at this point, because there has been some buzz that the material is now being scrubbed and altered. And so I hope that it's not. I hope that we get reality, because we really need that kind of transparency in order to be able to look at what changes do we make in mm-hmm. the way the system operates and how we view these elite people at the top who are capable of doing such terrible things.
Do you feel like there are a lot of women and even men out there that have had, who have been abused, let's put it that way, I'm just going to say that, that this is going to traumatize them. And the survivors who are in their periphery, it's going to traumatize them, that there's going to just be this national re-traumatization, if you will, that things that have happened in our past, now it's just, we're just being traumatized over and over, even though we need to know this. How do we get through this if we've been there before and now it's just, it's plastered all over TikTok, it's on Facebook, it's on Instagram, it's on the news, it's everywhere. We cannot avoid this.
Yeah. I think it'll be a mix of re-traumatization on one level, but also validation, because one of the key problems that survivors of abuse have is that they feel isolated, they feel tainted, they feel that somehow it's their fault. And when they learn that, you know what, this is common, this happens to a lot of people, I think it takes the lid off the box of things that they've been holding inside. And it can be difficult in the short term, but ultimately, I think it helps a lot of people. And people will go into therapy, they'll find survivor groups. And I can see that already happening because people are saying, you know, there are things that I've buried that I really want to deal with. So I hope overall it has a positive impact, even though people do need to dose it. Just like we do with all political news, which is so hostile and contentious, we can't be absorbed in it all the time. But I think with dosing it and taking the lid off the box of our own histories and then seeking support, I think it can turn out to be a good thing.
Do you think it's going to have the same effect like the Me Too movement? Do you think it's like phase two of that?
That's a really good point. That's a really good way to put it. I think so. Are we going to do a better job with questioning the elite and taking action more quickly when there are rumors, not going soft on them in the criminal justice system, not using politicians, you know, for favors? And I hope it helps us move in the right direction and do a better job of protecting kids.
I was wondering almost the exact same thing. So I was thinking of Me Too, Stacey, and I was thinking, is that obviously, it started with accusations against a few people and then it had a collective effect. There was this, all different cases that are completely unrelated to one another. People started talking. I'm wondering if we're going to see this again, if we're going to see that coming out of individuals having the confidence to do so because of the collective revealing of people like this right now.
There's power in numbers.
Yeah, if we're going to see that take place, what's your thoughts on something like that happening again? Either that was a pretty big movement the first round, but I'm wondering, are we going to see something just as big, if not bigger?
I think so, because as much as this kind of crime against children has not been talked about, mm-hmm. there's a lot of it. And yeah. it goes on at all levels of society, as we're seeing. And one of the most healing things for people who have been victims is to be in a group and to sense that camaraderie and the fellowship that they feel. And that helps so much with the stigma that they've carried and the self-blame. So I hope it goes in that direction.
It's going to be very fascinating to see where that all falls. The perpetrators, if their names are revealed, which will be interesting because, yeah, we're all seeing and kind of holding our breath if they're going to scrub it for national security purposes. Mm-hmm. I think the folks out there that have something to be concerned about are probably fairly concerned. But what about the survivors themselves as well? When this comes out, if they are named in this or even if they're not, having pieces of their life, chapters of their life thrown out there to the public and Not that it's their fault by any means, but people do hold shame. People hold moments that they're not happy about because it was traumatizing for them. And now it's all out in the open, or will be all out in the open. Let's talk about that angle for a little bit and what they're going to be going through. Yes, it is great that these people hopefully will be exposed, but at the same point, there's a lot of folks out there who are also going to have elements of their life that, if they're still around, you know, wanted to be, you know, put away, and it's going to be right back to the surface for everyone to be discussing.
Mm-hmm. And that's the hard part, you know, for many victims, they're not as concerned about their anonymity, but those are the names that I think should be scrubbed, certainly from any public exposure, just as we, you know, when kids are molested or assaulted in the home, we publish the names of the perpetrators, but not the victims. And they should be the ones to have control. Some of them do want to come out and tell their story, just as Virginia Giuffre has done. Mm-hmm. And that can be very healing for them to feel like, you know what, I don't need to carry the shame here. But it certainly will throw a lot of people back into symptoms of their chronic PTSD. And that's something, you know, again, do we have enough therapists to be available to support people through that? I hope so.
Yeah.
comment from Gen Z 367. I also think in regards to people being ashamed of coming forward, there may be some that suppressed everything. And this is now bringing up a lot of that was pushed down. So a lot of PTSD, which is what you just mentioned, Siobhan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Why do you think it is that the Epstein case activates such a strong emotional response nationally, where it, obviously in the big scale of things, this is, you know, a certain number of people who were involved and certainly affected. But compared to obviously the whole population, I mean, there's not a lot of people who have exact personal ties to this, but there, is it the relatability? Is it because even if you weren't directly affected by Jeffrey Epstein, the behavior like this is reminiscent of other individuals in people's lives?
Definitely. It brings up their own experiences with, and it may not even be the sexual component of it, but you know, people who have been abused in various ways and the power imbalance, that's also triggering and can set off responses. And I think for the culture as a whole, when you hear about all the way to the top, the highest level of political involvement that's been alleged here, it really shakes people's ability to trust the system and to trust that people in the government are, you know, working in our favor if they will abuse children in this way.
Well, and what kind of a culture do we have where we doubt our victims? We doubt when somebody says this happened to me. And I've heard from surprisingly a lot of women who are doubting these victims. And I just kind of do a double take, like, really? Really? Mm-hmm. Do you think somebody is going to talk about something so traumatic and horrific and make it up? And yes, there are those that will fabricate something like this. But for the majority, I really believe that these people are telling the truth. So it's mm-hmm. really disheartening to hear, especially women, placing blame and not believing these victims. It's it makes it scarier for anybody to come out in the future.
It definitely does. And that's a problem we've had in this country forever. Well, probably everywhere in the world, is the tendency to blame the victim. On some level, it makes people feel safer that, well, I'm not the kind of person that this would happen to, so I don't need to worry about it. So all these other women, they've done something, or young girls, they've done something to cause this. I mean, I've worked with pedophiles in the past who talked about, well, this was a very seductive, my daughter was a very seductive 6-year-old. And it just goes with this kind of predatory thinking that the victim's poor judgment, or if she hadn't been drinking, or if he hadn't have put himself in that crowd at that party, you know, this wouldn't have happened. And it makes people feel safer that they're, you know, not that kind of person, so it's not going to happen to them. The other thing that I think we're running into now, because the country has been so divided into political tribes, and when they hear that their hero is implicated in some way, they immediately go into denial and attacking the victim that's making the allegations.
But we've seen our heroes fall before, haven't we?
Yeah,
I would think so, but I don't know if it's to this degree when you're taking it as high as this goes.
And that's what I wonder about is how even when this all comes out, are people going to believe it? If it implicates people that they don't want to believe could be monstrous. I mean, it's not a secret that, you know, some of these people that are out there, I can think of many on both sides, you know, of both political leanings, that the answer is probably yes, very monstrous. And if information comes out about them, not going to be shocked by it. Mm-hmm. But you're still going to have people that are going to sit there and pretend that that's just not true. It can't be, because it challenges their worldview to such an extent that they're not gonna process it. I mean, and let me ask you, when somebody is like that, are they choosing that? Are they choosing not to accept those sort of things, or is it kind of one of those they're not capable of doing this? It's just their brain is not going to process it. Like, some folks don't have empathy, or some just not capable of really being able to process things certain ways without utter total mental breakdown.
Yeah, I think there's probably more of the second, that their denial is just so intense, because in order to acknowledge that their fearless leader, their hero, is a sexual predator, that would shake their identity, because they're seeing that this, as an example, their person was sent by God. And there are a lot of people who believe that about one specific person at the top, that he is sent by God. And I think video could show up of that person doing something with a child, something vividly violent or sexual, and folks would still see it and say, this is a scam. This is, you know, a conspiracy. This never happened. This is AI. And so there's a certain percentage of people that are simply not going to accept it. And I do think that's a defense mechanism. It would shatter their world to see the truth.
Bending the rules of reality is really what it is.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.